From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon. Out-of-state undergraduate students at the University of Alaska Southeast will see lower tuition rates beginning next fall. The campus is getting rid of out-of-state tuition for all undergraduate students as part of the Alaska Unlocked program. Out-of-state students made up 12% of the entire student population last fall. Vice Chancellor for Enrollment Management and Student Affairs, Lori Klein, says it's part of a strategy to make UAS more accessible for out-of-state students.
At UAS, we're focused on enrollment growth, and in order to do that, we have to remove the barriers or, in this case, through Alaska Unlocked, create the pathway for out-of-state students to join us in this amazing place at this amazing university with our programs and our faculty and our services.
This comes as enrollment at UAS has fallen since 2012, with a slight increase in recent years. Klein says the state's declining population means they're looking to applicants outside the state to bolster enrollment. And she says they benefit both the university and the state.
Our out-of-state students have strong retention and completion rates. And not only are our out-of-state students, not only do they stay with us through completion, they often then stay in Alaska and they work in Alaska.
Klein adds that they're also continuing to improve recruitment efforts within the state as well. Tuition at UAS this year is $240 to $290 per credit, depending on the level of course. Out-of-state tuition is currently $600 more per credit hour. Klein says many of the out-of-state students at UAS currently pay 1.5 times in-state tuition. Separately, the University of Alaska Board of Regents is also considering a 3% tuition increase across the entire university system for next year. Klein said in an email to KTOO that UAS estimates it will lose about $400,000 in tuition with the change. The campus will need 70 new out-of-state students taking 24 credits in an academic year to make up the difference. But Klein says they're committed to exceeding that goal in the coming years.
The loss of revenue is a risk, but we believe in the quality product that we have, and we believe that this school, UAS is a right fit for so many students.
Klein says the campus has also doubled its recruiting staff. She says 3 out of 4 positions are currently filled, and they're traveling in and out of the state to recruit students. The university accepts applications on a rolling basis until August 1st for the following school year. Nearly 100 large whales were reported entangled around the U.S. in 2024, almost a 50% increase from the year before. That's according to a federal report released last month. KMXT's Brian Venois breaks it down.
Whales can be spotted along much of the U.S. coastline, and sometimes they're caught up in fishing gear. Last year, 95 entangled whales were reported to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, according to a recent report. At least 3 died, 8 were reportedly already dead. Last year's numbers are up from 64 entangled whales in 2023, though the volume of reports has varied significantly in the last 15 years. Sightings of entangled whales peaked around 2015 for the 5 regions NOAA tracks. By state, Alaska had the 3rd most reports last year, following California and Massachusetts, respectively. Hawaii was 4th. By species, humpbacks were the most spotted entangled. The report showed at least 77 individual animals caught in fishing gear. The next most entangled species were gray whales, North Atlantic right whales, mink whales, and sperm whales. 1 fin and 1 bowhead whale were also reported. The species of 2 entangled whales couldn't be identified. NOAA officials responded to 37 of them. Sometimes that meant they found an entangled whale and helped free it, but last year only 11 were either fully or partially freed. Other times, attempts were unsuccessful. At least 1 was killed by untrained individuals attempting to free it. 4 reportedly disentangled themselves. NOAA suspects many others are still entangled. Most were caught in some mix of fishing line and buoys. About a 1/5 were caught in traps like shellfish pots. Reports can be filed to NOAA's 24-hour hotline, and responders will need to know locations, what type of gear animals are caught in, direction it might be headed, and any photos or videos. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
And funding for a program subsidizing rural air travel is set to continue through early November, despite the ongoing government shutdown. That's according to a notice the U.S. Transportation Department sent to airlines Wednesday afternoon. And it's an update from earlier this week, when U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy warned that the Essential Air Service program could run out of money as soon as Sunday. Subsidies are meant to ensure small communities have access to air travel, even if commercial flights aren't necessarily profitable. The program subsidizes routes to 65 Alaska communities, most of which are not connected to the road system. The extension is a relief, says Alaska Air Carriers Association head Will Day.
That's hopeful. From an industry perspective, it gives time for the government to, you know, to recover and appropriate those funds. So right now, I would say, generally speaking, we're cautiously hopeful that funding will be restored before November 2nd and things continue and business continues as usual.
Even if funding does run out, some airlines serving Alaska communities say they're not expecting disruptions, at least in the short term. But Day says the impacts of a lapse would be uneven, and smaller airlines would face an especially difficult path forward. Day says a small carrier serving the interior community of McGrath will be forced to nearly quadruple its fares for a one-way flight to or from Anchorage. Alaska Airlines told Alaska Public Media they're expecting to continue flying even if funding ran out. It's a similar story in Kodiak for Island Air Service. Here's Island Air co-owner Eric Howard.
We're going to do our best to just kind of keep providing service to the essential air service communities as best we can, be uninterrupted, and hopefully the government figures it out. But if it does go more than a month, then we might have to reevaluate and see from there.
The state's second largest essential air service carrier, Grant Aviation, says it's working with the congressional delegation to keep the program funded. But the company wouldn't say whether to expect disruptions if funding did lapse. Democrats and Republicans each blame each other for the shutdown, and it shows little sign of resolving anytime soon. And you're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Tlingit Elder Hladan Utt, Lori Cropley, an elder in training, Yekgitsi George Hawley, will lead dawn prayers and talk about tribal values at the annual Elders and Youth Conference in Anchorage next week. The prayers involve sharing thoughts, dancing, and singing.
These are the words of Segege Emma Marks when she shared about an old way of greeting the morning, greeting each other in the morning. And she expressed that. She said all those old peoples would say that again upon us a day has broken. Hey-e-o, hey-e-o. Hey-e-o, hey-e-a, hey-e-o. Hey, hey-e-a. Maybe I can share with you the Dena'ina word for dawn prayers. Yitas kun duch adat kani. Dawn is for everybody. The whole earth turns itself towards the sun each morning, and you can hear the animals waking, singing, and it is a time for everyone to enjoy. So dawn prayers is for everybody. It's time for singing, it's time for language, it's time for making connections, and really centering ourselves in a healing story.
Well, we all live by some values. We all have values that we live by. And in this particular case, we're going to follow dawn prayers with a tribal value circle. And we're going to talk about how much we love holding each other up, how important it is to show reverence and respect for elders and others. And we're going to spend some time just remembering and renewing our commitment to that way of life.
I don't at all feel like an elder. I'm learning. You know, I'm learning. We all are learning. I mean, that, of course, is the truth. Lori is one of our elders.
How old are you?
55.
Oh, he's a cusp. He's like a cusp. He's
elder
a young
in training.
Elder. Yeah. I'm 80, so I'm definitely claiming.
There you go.
I'm claiming. I'm just recently claiming it.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's hard it's hard to be an elder. There's pressure, there's expectations, sometimes unrealistic. You've maybe haven't been able to practice your language or your lifestyle, like he mentions, early in your childhood, and now here we are, you know, just trying to encourage and hold up others who are really focusing now on language and tribal values. And so, I'm an elder, but that's why this Elders and Youth Conference is so important, working together with the young people who are really coming up in the language and the culture, and elders who have some history and stories to share. What I found so interesting is that our values are such a way of life that when you ask a group, adults or youth, what are the values that they live by, they can't mention them. They can't verbalize them. And so I found at talking circles about tribal values, it's just like these lights go on, like, ah, we hold each other up. We're reverent. We're respectful. It's just our way of life. We're all just relatives. We're all family. We're all beginning to realize that we have the same needs and wants, want to be seen and heard and respected and held up and loved. So all that kind of disappears in a talking circle because you're sitting shoulder to shoulder.
That's so beautiful, Lori. Gosh. Yeah, it's true. That's all true.
That was Lori Cropley and George Hawley sharing their plans to lead dawn prayers at the Elders and Youth Conference in Anchorage next week. The prayers start at 8 a.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 50 degrees and fairly sunny this afternoon. Tonight, we might get some rain. Tomorrow, it looks like there might be rain in the morning, but it'll drop off throughout the day. Friday night and the weekend look clear and sunny, with temperatures between the mid-30s and the low 50s. Sunday night might bring more rain. And sunset is at 6:07 tonight. Sunrise tomorrow will be around 7:20 in the morning. So we're getting 10 hours and 45 minutes of daylight these days. You're listening to KTOO.